So, once again, Carson's given me a topic that I feel a little uncomfortable with. I don't have any little ones that are ready to be going out trick-or-treating. But I'm willing to take on any challenge. So, and of course, I always have to start each one of my messages with a little joke. I saw a cartoon this past week. It's one of my favorites. It's Pearls Before Swine. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but it's got these the characters. You normally see the pig and his friend, and they're trick-or-treating. They got the typical ghost outfit, and they ding-dong, ding-dong, and the neighbor Bob says, "Hey, nice costumes, Rat and Pig." And Pig says, "Please give us candy, neighbor Bob." And Rat says, "Or we'll write something bad about you on Twitter." "Something bad about me? What kind of Halloween greeting is that?" And Rat says, "Trick or tweet." Pig says, "We got more candy than ever." And the Rat says, "Social media is the key to extortion." So there you go. So I'm today to speak to you about trick-or-treating. And as the son of a dentist, trick-or-treating has long been a cherished holiday in our household. Actually, my dad must have been the one out of five dentists that actually wanted children to save their teeth until adulthood. But we would collect our candy and somehow would magically disappear without us eating it. But such was life. We got a few things on the way home. Yeah. But I thought I would take this opportunity to talk about decisions regarding the gray areas that we encounter in life. If you talk to many Christian parents, you'll get a wide range of opinions about whether allowing children to go trick-or-treating is okay. It's not my purpose today to really answer that question. My parents actually became believers when I was like 10, thereabouts, and their opinions about Halloween changed dramatically. You know, went from being perfectly okay, whatever you want, to, oh, it's of the devil or something like that. But I guess because we had been allowed to do that, you know, through our earliest years, they continued reluctantly to let us go around with marauding bands. And yet they themselves would sanctifiedly gather themselves and head down to the dental office to pray and turn out all the lights. So this is one approach that you can do while we went through the neighborhood and extorted things from our neighbors. So that was their approach to things. I listen regularly to Wretched Radio, and I think they have a better approach. They have a campaign, you know, kind of sharing Christ with your neighbors. The idea is they have kind of a combination of DVDs, The Biggest Question, and then they have these $1 million bills, and they said, you know, they're gospel tracks, but they said kids just love them. Oh, wow, give me the money, come on, you know, keep it coming, just one per family, you know. So he's looking to it as an opportunity. I mean, people are coming to your door, you know, it's not like you're asking them to come, they're just coming. And his point was, you wouldn't want to just give them a gospel track and a DVD. You also give them some decent candy so that they won't talk about you. So we can, you know, kind of redeem the you know, what is perhaps otherwise, you know, kind of a dark holiday. So we do have options. Let's see, where was I? Okay. Got a little lost there. Okay. So many Christians recognize that today is an important day to the church. October 31st is Reformation Day. On October 31st, 1517, Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the castle door at Wittenberg. At our old church, they once had a Reformation Day party on Halloween. So rather than everybody you know, allowing their kids to go trick-or-treating, we brought them all down to the church, and we had a wide range of costumes from, you know, somebody wearing the sword of the, you know, dressed up like with the armor of God, and then we had, you know, some other variations, but they were all, you know, kind of, I guess, more sanctified costumes, if you could have such a thing. But the idea was, you know, you're allowing the children to have some fun, but, you know, maybe not participate in what some Christians believe is, you know, I guess an unholy holiday, maybe. I also heard, this was kind of funny, Mike Abendroth said when his kids were young, he allowed them to go door to door, but he had them dressed as the martyrs. And he said, could you imagine this? The parent comes to the door, oh, what are you? Polycarp. So that's a different approach. But the idea is, you know, they aren't going around, you know, and I think, you know, it might just be a sign of aging, but, you know, people's interest in the ghoulish and the macabre or whatever has become, I think, exaggerated to the point where I don't understand everyone's fascination with zombies. You know, it's just looks awful. And yet, you know, is this something you could allow your child to dress as a zombie and go to door to door? I mean, my parents, they would allow me, after they became believers, to go around with a sheet over my head. I guess they thought I was the Holy Ghost or something. But it was because the costume was being used over and over again. But anyway, but I don't think, and I think a lot of times at Halloween, you know, it not only goes to the dark, but a lot of the costumes, a lot of, they say that Halloween's become the second most money being spent on a holiday next to Christmas, which is pretty unbelievable. But drive around the neighborhoods and you see all the decorations, but there's a lot of parties for adults, you know, who I guess never got over dressing up in costumes, and they all gather and a lot of provocative costumes, and it's just a mess. But I guess the thing is, there's ways that we can redeem opportunities like this, and hopefully you can do so in a way that, you know, as you're trying to witness to your neighbors, you know, you can be faithful in your witness, you know, to your neighbors. I mean, they already think you're weird, but you can take advantage of these opportunities in ways that don't compromise your convictions or celebrate the darker aspects of the holiday. Let's see. So here's a couple admonitions for you when you making decisions regarding your family. In 1 John 2:15, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. I think a lot of times we just kind of have to question whatever decisions we're making. Is this something that reflects worldliness? You know, am I doing something that, you know, compromises my convictions just, you know, because there's family pressure or, you know, well, you did it when you were a kid, Dad, you know, kind of thing. It, you know, you just have to, and each family, I think, has to make decisions, you know, for themselves. It's, you know, just because so-and-so is doing it. I mean, in this household, we're making our guidelines, and this is what we're going to do. You know, so that's certainly something that we do deal with, I'm sure. Let's see. I did have one question here. I said, would a Christian be able to dress as one of the undead and maintain a faithful witness? I would like to say no, but that's me. I can't imagine it. But, you know, again, these are decisions that, you know, that we all have to make and deal with. And I would also exhort you to consider, if you want to dress in a way that shocks or is hip and relevant, are you crossing a line, allowing your children to dress in costumes that glorify the demonic or cultic would also be ill-advised. Many Christians, they take their perceived liberty to an extreme. God knows their heart. My encouragement to each of you as parents is to make decisions carefully. We tend to make decisions about what we will or won't allow, largely probably by what our parents did or what other Christians are doing. Often you'll hear the complaint, there's nothing wrong with harmless fun. In some cases that may be true, but all too often we allow ourselves to compromise. So should you take your children trick-or-treating? I will leave that to your discretion. Philippians 2:12, Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. As we make such decisions, I would encourage you to consider, is this something that's God-honoring? Will this activity allow my witness to be affected with my neighbors and my family? We must be very careful not to violate our consciences or go or those of our beloved brothers and sisters in Christ. Of course, you know, as I was talking about it being Reformation Day, you know, Martin Luther spoke a great deal about our conscience. I had this one website here. It's a famous quote. It says, unless I'm convinced by the testimony of the Holy Scriptures or by evident reason, I can believe neither Pope nor councils alone, as it is clear that they have erred repeatedly and contradicted themselves, I consider myself convicted by the testimony of Holy Scripture, which is my basis. My conscience is captive to the Word of God. Thus I cannot and I will not recant, because acting against one's conscience is neither safe nor sound. God help me. So his point with that is, you know, as we, you know, if you had a, you know, something in your conscience was telling you, you shouldn't let your children, you know, go door to door, and you allowed yourself to be talked into it by family members or your wife, it's a very dangerous thing. And, you know, there's a section in 1 Corinthians that I wanted to talk a bit about. Maybe I won't read the whole thing in the interest of time, but basically in the concept, it had the issue of conscience. The Corinthians had asked Paul about the matter of conscience. They could get meat offered to an idol at a discount. And you know how Christians are always looking for sales. Yet many Christians that were saved from this idolatrous lifestyle, to them, your bargain beef would be highly offensive to their sensitive consciences. So Paul asked them they asked Paul for a hard and fast answer. You know, would this be okay or not? And he essentially said it would depend. He presented a scenario. If you had liberty to eat such meat, but a brother who thought it was sinful pointed it out to you, you should defer to your brother and not eat, even though you had a right to do so. There's nothing inherently wrong with it, but out of love for your brother, you would abstain. So you should do that. You should do this out of love for your brother. So as a parent, you're likely to encounter family members or other church members who question things that you allow your children to do. And if nothing else, this should cause us to do self-evaluation. Is the thing at issue sinful? If so, we should stop. If it is something that we have freedom to do, yet the person who is offended does not have the level of maturity to understand our decision, we should be willing to give up our right out of love for our brother or sister. Having said this, I think there are people who are perpetual weaker brothers and make a career out of it, who should have grown to a point to recognize that we are just making a different decision that they would as parents, yet they are using the weaker brother card to question our behavior. In those cases, an explanation that the decision is not sinful might be warranted. You know, certainly if they're more mature, you can go to the scripture with them and explain why you've made the decision, but again, you know, if it's your own conscience, just be very careful with that. 1 Peter 2:12, keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles so that in the thing that they slander you as evildoers, that because of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. So here's some questions for your discussion. What are some creative ideas we can use to redeem this opportunity with our neighbors? The second question, as people question our decisions, be they parenting or otherwise, what is the best way to respond to unbelievers or weaker believers?